listening to Saucy But Sweet with Ally McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. So, as all of you know, the baddest of the bad, Harvey Weinstein, is officially behind bars. The jury convicted Weinstein of felony sex crime and rape. Now, I had never heard about Harvey Weinstein before the start of the Me Too movement. Maybe I was living under a rock, but I had no recollection of what Hollywood was like while he was in power. After reading articles written by women like Lupita Nyong'o, I can't imagine how difficult it must have been to even be in the same industry as him. I was shocked to see the amount of women who had feared him for so long. Gwyneth Paltrow, Rose McGowan, Lupita, even Cara Delevingne spoke out about their experiences with him. Now Harvey's in prison, and so is Bill Cosby. Now apart from Bill and Harvey, there's a discussion of R. Kelly. Yes, Mr. Step in the Name of Love. Now, I personally remember growing up to his music, but as I've gotten older and found out about his past behavior, I no longer step in the name of love or put on the Ignition remix, which I'm not gonna lie, was my song back in the day. I've been thinking a lot about men with bad reputations, and I'm not sure cancel culture is a step in the right direction. Today I'm joined by my friend Trone Dowd, a freelance writer who has written for publications such as Vice and The Gothamist, and more. I'm glad I have you here to help unpack this very controversial topic. Would you mind introducing yourself to the masses?
Absolutely. My name is Trone Dowd. I'm a reporter. I work at Vice and the nonprofit news organization called The City. Love both of them pretty much equally. Graduated from this very school just last December. So, yeah.
Yes.
Excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Whoop, whoop. Of course. So, what do you think we should do about disgraced individuals? I feel torn at the idea of getting rid of every piece of artwork because in reality, it affects more than just the person. It also affects fans.
Right.
So it's hard to let go of something, especially songs, TV shows. So do you think cancel culture overall is a good thing, or do you think it does more harm than good?
I think it comes from a good place. Obviously, I'm speaking for, myself and... In terms of myself, I feel like it's coming from a good place. I feel like cancel culture is definitely something that we needed, especially on behalf of just generations and generations of women and men who have dealt with horrible, horrible situations in the workplace. I think it comes from a good place, and I think that there's a lot of celebrities out there that have gotten away with horrible, horrible actions, and they needed to be ousted. They needed to be canceled, and they need to feel the ramifications of their actions. So. That's where I stand on it. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, in the beginning, I think I was all for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when you hear things like Slavery is a Choice by Kanye West, it makes you think, what the fuck? People are actually going to see this dude?
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking about the fact that I still listen to Flashing Lights.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like,
and
so
I can't
funny
not listen to that.
That you mentioned, because I came in here, ready to go off about Kanye West. So I don't know if you knew this about me, but I am a massive, massive, massive Kanye West fan. Going back to 2004 when The College Dropout dropped, to this day, as much as I have issues with that man, I can't deny the impact that he's had on my life. You know, I was a kid who grew up in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was looking up to 50 Cent. I was looking up to the main figures in hip-hop that were not necessarily on the right track or leading me and my friends towards the right things that we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very easy to look up towards, someone like 50 Cent who was from the borough that we were from and be like, oh, that's what I need to do. I need to become a drug dealer and I need to do this and that. And then here comes Kanye West to be like, nah, you don't have to. Just be yourself, You're self-conscious. That's a very common thing. So am I. I dress this way and I don't care what people think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult for me to, 20 years later almost, see this guy get up on TMZ's, stool and be like, oh, Slavery is a Choice.
Yeah.
I think he's a perfect example of someone who is like, no, we need to cancel him, but I'm very conflicted.
That's the thing. I'm conflicted. It's like, again, I get the point of it.
Yeah.
Harvey Weinstein obviously is someone who does not give a fuck.
Yes, absolutely.
R. Kelly thinks he's fine. He thinks it's okay to have sex with 14-year-old women.
Yes, and we should have gotten him out of the paint a long time ago. A long, long time ago.
The black community, to be honest, I used to listen to Ignition on repeat.
It was tough to delete that from my playlist. I'm not going to lie. I was like, ah, damn, why are you so horrible?
I'm not going to lie. But we really promoted this dude.
Yeah.
Even, on the Boondocks. Hope I don't get sued for bringing this up. But on the Boondocks, that episode where he was in court.
Yes.
And everybody was still jamming to his music.
Absolutely.
after there's a video of him peeing on a 14-year-old.
Like, you couldn't have better evidence of this dude being a shitty, shitty human being.
And then goes on Gayle King's show.
Yep.
And, like,
and that's,
erupts.
That's what gets me, too, is, like, multiple times this has come up with him. Because even before the R. Kelly doc that we got, I think that was 2019, that would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I remember BuzzFeed, I think it was, did that whole expose of, like, you know, the house that he had in Atlanta, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And he had, like, basically just teenagers coming in and out that he would just basically pimp out for himself. And it was horrible.
Yeah.
And he still was out here doing his thing for two more years before we did anything about it.
Yeah, and when people are bumping and grinding, right, and the age is nothing but a number, and,
right.
and look, that's about minors. Like, it's really hard to separate the art
from the artist.
From the artist, but I don't believe that every artist's art represents them. Like, for example, Bill Cosby's show.
Yes.
The Cosby Show. I don't think they should get that off of air because, well, it doesn't, to me, represent the bad that he's done. And there's other people involved.
Right.
There's people there who would be getting the royalties.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing is, though, like, in that case, it's also Bill Cosby getting the royalties. Like, that's
he shouldn't be getting it.
It's, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. I definitely agree. But it's also tough because where do we really, you know, draw the line in terms of here's a problematic figure and, like, you know, I have two little brothers and they're going to watch the Cosby Show and they might think, like, this guy is totally cool. Mm-hmm. Like, he's totally chill. Like, where do we sort of figure out that, you know, space where it's like, this guy produced this work that was very important for the black community and broke all these barriers. But, you know, he's a horrible human being now. And now we know this. He always has been. And I don't know. I personally feel like, no, we can take the Cosby Show off the air. I don't know. That's just me. But I understand where you're coming from, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't. It's just such a, to me, the show has nothing to do with who he is. It's like an alter, it's different. Like, this is a guy, a doctor, right? He was a doctor in Brooklyn with his beautiful family. Like, I'm thinking of the family. I'm not thinking of this stupid dude. Like, you know, but it is called The Cosby Show. It is about him.
Exactly.
But it's like, we should be able to, for some people, I think, maybe separate it, you know, because it's different from R. Kelly, you know?
Yeah.
It's just hard. It's hard. Like, Michael Jackson, there are people who still won't play his music.
Yeah.
I'm a diehard Michael Jackson fan, so it was very hard for me. Very hard for me to look. I couldn't look at the documentary, you know, and it's very hard for me to, like, accept that this is what he did.
Yeah.
And so, like, for example, would I still listen to his music? Probably, because it's just, I can't.
It's
separate, you know.
I think it's a case by case basis with a lot of, especially in the black community, a lot of, like, our key figures who mean so much to us. You know, like, Bill Cosby was one of those people.
Yeah.
Obviously, Michael Jackson, and to a newer generation, Kanye West is one of those people where it's like, it's really hard to sort of rectify, you know, what this person is, what they represent, and what they mean to us as a community. Michael Jackson. It's really hard. I haven't seen the documentary yet. It's on the queue. I do want to watch it because I do think it's important to sort of hear his alleged victims and what they have to say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like,
it's
he means
one.
So much to my family. He means so much to, like, my childhood.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. No, we still have a picture of him on the back of my door.
Wow.
We have the RIP, we love you.
Yeah.
And my mom, we're not taking that down. You know what I mean? We're not going to take that down. And I think, you know, no one has come to my house and had a problem with it.
Yeah.
And if they did, I mean,
yeah.
There's a door. You know, you don't come to someone's house and have a problem with something, you know, whatever.
For sure.
But,
for sure.
Like, for the most part, it's really hard. It's kind of like someone saying that Prince did something.
Yeah.
That'd be hard for us to,
like. It
would
be very difficult.
And I think also the fact that he's dead, too, really plays a part in it.
I think
it's
so.
Like, he's not even alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It's different than, like, Harvey Weinstein and his fucking thing.
His fake illness that he suddenly has.
I mean, nobody feels sorry for you, Harvey, okay?
Yeah. I do have to say, though, and this is a question for you. I do have to say, like, do you think there is a certain bias? Like, I'm not even going to try to pretend, like, is there? Like, I think there is a certain bias between a lot of the people were pointing out of, like, oh, these losers, like Harvey Weinstein. Like, we can obviously point them out and, like, yeah, of course he did that. He's bad.
Yeah.
But it's very tough for us to come to terms with a lot of figures in the black community that might have done these things.
Oh, that
you know?
Is a... I just had that conversation the other day.
Do you think it's a matter of, you know, these people are important to us and maybe we're more willing to turn a blind eye? Or do you think it's a matter of the circumstances? Like, where do you stand on that?
I think it's a little bit of both because with Michael Jackson, I can definitely see why.
Yeah.
Even white, like not even just black people, white people could have a problem with that because he's dead. We felt sorry for him. He was abused by his father. Like, there's a lot of things right. that make us see, oh my God, we can't just shun him.
Right.
But in the case of like R. Kelly and like maybe even Kobe Bryant, you know, yeah. and I hated the reporting on Kobe Bryant's allegations when he died. I thought they were ill-timed.
Right.
I thought they were inappropriate.
Right.
Because I was thinking of his family. But, you know, Snoop Dogg came out and was like, Gail, why are you questioning him? Why are you questioning this dude? She's asking a question.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, Kobe Bryant was a human,
right.
you know, and when he, just because he died, you know, God, honestly, rest in peace to him.
Yes.
But like, just because he died didn't mean that he didn't do what
right.
they're alleged, you know, so.
And if we're going to look back at a person's like legacy in their life, like we're doing a disservice as journalists, especially by not mentioning these things.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Like, even if we want to like show a timeline of like who this human being was and maybe if he improved his life and so on and so forth, like we need to mention those things because it's important.
For
it's important as far as like their legacy goes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you know, I was talking to Corey about it. He was just on the show.
Yeah. Shout out to Corey.
Shout out to Corey. Woo! Corey Matthews from Baltimore. Hey.
Yep.
You know, we were talking and he was saying that we're just so underrepresented that when we finally come on top and then someone just rips it away, you feel that. You just feel it.
Yeah.
And historically, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard for us. So a lot of times we, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of cancel culture, but for the most part, we don't want our black icon to be ripped apart, ripped to shreds, like Michael Jackson, like Prince.
Because
like
in most cases, we know their story and we know how hard they worked to get there.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
And some of them make really fucking good music.
Yeah, that's
like,
the
unfortunate
thing.
And I'm not going to, like, lie about that. Like, Ignition is the shit.
Yeah, it's a banger. I regret even saying that right now, but yeah, he made some pretty good music.
You know what? We might be canceled after this whole motherfucking podcast, so get ready.
I will say, like, and it gets back to sort of the case-by-case basis. I think it depends on the individual. I mentioned before, like, with R. Kelly, like, once the BuzzFeed story came out, I was very much like, oh, I'm going to delete all of his music altogether. Like,
yeah.
It was very easy for me to do that. It was very easy for me to go like, well, Bill Cosby was someone that like I was very near and dear to my heart. Like I used to watch kids say the Darden's things when I was like a little kid and like I thought this guy was like awesome.
Yeah.
And it was very easy for me to sort of turn and just be like, yeah, whatever. But for me, like Kanye West is someone who I've repeatedly like been like, I'm done. I'm done as a fan, as a lifelong fan. I can't do this anymore. And then I always end up going back to, like, his old albums because it's just like, fuck, dude. This music means so much to me,
shit,
like, personally.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I'd be lying to myself if I said, like, oh, I will – at some point I will stop listening to his old music. Like, I won't. And I'm sure that's how a lot of people feel about a lot of other artists.
That's how I feel about Michael Jackson. And that's why, like, I can understand why someone doesn't want to just part ways with someone's art. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's how it is. But, But, like, I feel like also with comedians, cancel culture – must be a really scary thing because, you know, like Louis C.K., we're not going to get into that. He was wrong for what he did.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to lie, I was a huge fan of his comedy.
Oh,
I
for
thought
sure,
he's,
same.
I think he's hysterical.
Yeah.
What he did wasn't funny.
Absolutely.
And he definitely needs to pay the consequences for that. And he really is financially, trust me.
Yeah.
He can't go anywhere anymore without it coming up.
Do you think that there's room for a return? Because he's already been trying, like, he's kind of been teasing and he's been doing, like, tours here and there, like, doing sets at a comedy club. Do you think that there's space for that man to rebuild what he had before?
If he did, he'd have to fucking, like, get on his hands and knees.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, God, I shouldn't have said it like that. for the context
I feel
but
you.
But you get what I'm saying. Everyone gets what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
He needs to, like, his tour better be fucking gold. You know what I mean? Like, I think... And that's with him. I don't think it'd be easy to cancel like Dave Chappelle, which they tried to do.
Right.
And I was the first one to say, good luck. You're not going to cancel Dave Chappelle.
There's too many fans. Like, the fan base is too adamant on, like, no, I love this person's work. It means so much to me.
Yeah. And he doesn't give a fuck what you think about him. Like, that's one of the things I love about him. One of the things people hate about him is, like, he says shit, but he says shit about, everyone. He says shit about black people, and we all laugh.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, I definitely see that. I do. I will say, like, when Chappelle, I think, how many specials has he had over the last couple of years? I think it was like
four or five
or something. Yeah, I
fact
could
check
be
us.
Wrong.
Fact check us, guys.
Yeah,
please.
For sure. I will say, like, he in particular is another figure where I'm just sort of like, I'm in this weird in between space because I forget which one it was, but like I definitely didn't like some of his like
the last one.
His last one was pretty decent. There was one where he's like just sitting on a stool and he's just sort of like, it's a very intimate, just like he's talking to the audience. I thought that one was excellent. And I feel like that's sort of the type of stuff that he should do.
Yeah.
Whether I agree with what he has to say or not, I thought that it was just more like, this is more your speed. Whereas I think it was the one before that where he was telling like crazy transphobic jokes where I just was kind of like, dude, I don't even think this is funny.
I think that was the last one. I think you're talking about the last one because that was the last one everyone was really mad about.
I see. He has so many that I'm just kind of.
And he made a joke about the Michael Jackson's accusers, which like one of the jokes was like, "Whoa, dude!" Like, okay,
I know which one you're talking about too.
You know, and we're not even going to repeat this on this show. You know what I mean?
It's rough because again, like just. I'm in this weird in-between space where it's kind of like, yeah, I haven't all out like canceled Dave Chappelle. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've watched all of his specials. I had ones where like I sat there and just didn't laugh. And I'm just kind of like, I see myself like I would have laughed at this when I was like less knowledgeable of like the plight of other communities.
Sure,
and honestly, when I was like in elementary school, it's like, yeah, you're stupid. And you don't really know anything.
We all said dumb shit in elementary
school. Yeah, exactly. So like, you know, like at the time I was watching the Chappelle show. So it was like, haha, whatever. But like as someone who's just a little bit more, you know, aware of what's going on, it's like, yeah, it's a little tougher to sort of accept him. But in terms of outright canceling Dave Chappelle, like you said, it's like it's good. It's like good luck doing that. This guy has too much of a big fan base.
And you know, I don't think he deserves to be canceled. I think, I don't know. Comedy. I have a very different opinion on comedy than a lot of people. I thought that comedy is like
it's sort of the safe space
You hit some points that like maybe you shouldn't be hit. Like you, that's what comedy is. And I'm not saying you should ever make jokes about like Louis C.K. made a joke that was really really bad about school shootings, that shouldn't be a fucking joke.
Yeah, no, for sure. I know the set you're talking about, the one that was, like, leaked on YouTube or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, and Pete Davidson made a joke about his father dying in 9/11.
Yeah.
Which, like, even though that's your personal experience, there are many people who lost people.
Yeah.
And my mom, that was one of the worst days of her life. She even says to this day she cannot talk about it. She thought we were all going to die. So that kind of joke isn't funny.
Right.
But other than that, you know... I think comedy is supposed to hit points that are like, oh my God, like it that's comedy. And like, I feel like cancel culture within comedy is very complicated. Right. I don't know if it's going to work.
And I will say there, like, I disagree with you just a little bit just because I feel like comedy is sort of like this living organism where like, depending on the context of the time, comedy can evolve. And I feel like over the last, I would say, like, decade or so, I've become a little bit of, like, a comedy nerd. And I try to pay attention to, like, who's coming up and coming or whatever. And I sort of feel like if I can watch someone like a John Mulaney or a Jim Gaffigan do, like, a relatively clean set and I can still, like, have these belly laughs where I'm, like, dying of laughter and it's kind of like, whoa. I feel like it's almost laziness on the part of, like, comedians like Louis C.K. or Dave Chappelle where they're just sort of, like, doing jokes that are very, like, circa, you know, 1998 where it's like, ha, trans community. Like, you're wrong for feeling this way and this and that. And it's kind of like, dude, it just feels lazy. And again, like, I'm speaking for myself, but
it just
comes across as lazy to me.
I mean, like, for me, I don't know. I don't remember the jokes he made about the trans community.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I kind of, it's just, I watched that, like, a while ago. But in general, I've never watched, I think, a clean cut, like, comedy special and laughed.
Yeah.
I think the last thing I watched was that was very clean. Was the lamest I've ever watched. Like, I have a very, and I don't know, I have a very dry, I guess I have a very dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like, things that make me laugh maybe shouldn't, but, like, I'm not saying that I laugh at, like, everything that they
say. No. And I would say, like, I would agree with you.
Like, it's
very hard. I think that's same for me.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I did feel that way. Mm-hmm. And of all things, what changed my mind, and he's a problematic figure in his own right, but Steve Harvey. This is years ago.
Yeah, he says some stuff.
Yeah, he says some stuff regularly, and he has a lot of hot takes about the black community that I'm just not really on board with. But him, of all people, years and years ago, this would have been like 2008. I used to go to church pretty regularly, and my church, like, it was some convention, and like on a Saturday, they threw on like a comedy special. And I went in, you know, like, I'm going through, like, you know, high school. I'm 16. Like, I'm very into, like, edgy content because that's what you do when you're that age.
Yeah.
But he did an entirely clean set that was, like, supposed to be, I think the audience was, like, full of, like, you know, a congregation of church members. And I laughed so hard. And that was, like, what opened my eyes to, like, oh, like, not all comedy needs to be dirty. And there are, if, like, a particularly skilled comedian can go ahead and do, like, a clean 10 minutes for, like, a college campus, that really says something about that comedian.
Yeah, I guess I haven't been privy to that kind of stuff. I mean, right. I'd love if you can send me some links.
Oh, for sure, for
get
sure.
Get me into that because like I've never and maybe the last comedian, I forgot his name. He was on HBO and like.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
You know who
about.
I'm talking about.
Yeah, he had his own show, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was fucking lame. I was like, I want to hear some shit that's like kind of a little bit. You know,
yeah,
and a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, look, I get it. I'm black. You know what I mean? And there's been, and we know what it's like to be made fun of. And it sucks sometimes when it's done at our expense. But like, for the most part, I don't know. Like, I have a very just dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I find that kind of certain things funny.
Yeah.
And so cancel culture, it's just an interesting thing. It's like, I don't know. It comes from a good place. I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get it. You know, yeah. Like, if someone comes out and does blackface,
yeah,
I'm going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
It should have never been funny. I never thought it was funny.
I think just the way I sort of, the way I've sort of come to terms with, like, a lot of the people who, like I said, Louis C.K. was someone I, like, you had said it too. Like, I felt very strongly about, like, I love this guy. Like, I saw him live when he came to Forest Hill Stadium. Yeah. The 2017 set that's on Netflix, I saw him do that live in the city. And, like, that's how much of a fan I was of the guy.
Oh, my God. It's, like, super expensive, though.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it was a great night, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I almost feel sort of like, we live in a world where there's like a plethora of people mm-hmm. who exist and could, you know, sort of serve the same purposes that someone like a Louis C.K. or a R. Kelly, you know, like sort of occupy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sort of, I don't know, I feel like it's a lot easier nowadays, with the exception of people like Kanye West, a lot easier nowadays to sort of like let go of some of these prominent figures because it's like, well, Louis C.K. is gone, but at the same time, it's like we have no shortage of great comedians nowadays that are, you know, not problematic in that way, but still make me laugh. Like I said, John Mulaney is someone who, like, I discovered around that time and, like, completely fell in love with his comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned Jim Gaffigan, who's, like, he's not one of my favorite comedians, but, like, someone else who was just sort of like, hey, wow, like, you're saying a lot of stuff that's, like, really interesting and you're a lot more wholesome than a Louis C.K.,
Yeah, I guess I feel like a bad person now because, like,
no, it's all good.
I haven't, like, I don't know. I just have such I don't know. I feel like I'm really different from my generation.
Yeah.
Like, in terms, which is not bad. Like,
no, not at all.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. My mom and I, like, we watch these things and we laugh and we find it funny. But, like, I don't think about, like, how I guess it affects people's, like, mental health. I don't, because it just doesn't affect me like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I guess it's just like maybe being more understanding about that because like I just never think about it. I think it's like a joke and then people will just go on and go home and live their lives.
Right.
I'm just like these comedians do. These comedians don't go home and say, what did I say that was wrong? They kind of just go off.
Yeah.
But like comedy does grow. Like back in the day, Chilton Circuit, I mean like blackface was fucking hilarious for people.
Yeah.
And then black people did it because that's the only way that they had a job.
Right.
And so back, that was what was funny. And I look at now and I'm like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Whoever thinks that's funny is a fucking idiot.
Right.
So maybe in 5 years from now, we're going to be like, Dave Chappelle's the idiot for making that stupid joke about the queer community. So, like, things change and I get what you're saying. It does evolve.
Right.
Like, right now, I might find it hysterical and then 5 years be like, why would I laugh at that?
Right. And I feel like I almost see that now with, like, a lot of the comedy specials I used to watch back in the day. It's like I'll revisit them, and it's kind of like, man, I really don't find this as funny as I once did.
Yeah.
I remember there was, like, a Daniel Tosh special that I had watched years and years ago, and I'd revisited that, and it was not funny to me anymore. And I think it was just a matter of, like, I grew out of this. I grew out of sort of the edgy content that, like, again, like, if any teenagers are listening, like, I'm not criticizing you. Live out your life. You will grow. But, yeah, it was what I found funny in 2008 is not necessarily what I found funny in 2018. Because you grow as a person. I think the medium grows in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think that's just how the culture is moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I don't know when Dave Chappelle is going to have another special, but I feel like each time he has a new special, he, like, kind of makes a similar joke to the one before.
Yeah.
Like, he'll, like,
he doubles just, down.
He doubles, like, with the trans community, he was like, I know the trans community hates me, but here's this new joke to make y'all more mad. Like, he did do that.
Yeah, and that was tough to watch.
Yeah.
It
he
was.
Does that. That's, but, like, that's who he is. And then, like, with Kevin Hart, they try to cancel him. And I, you know, he had made some really homophobic tweets, and he had apologized, which I didn't even know about the tweets until, like, obviously they resurfaced.
Right.
And he was like, well, I apologize for that.
And that's something I will say, just to sort of piggyback off of that point you just made, is I think that the only thing I have about cancel culture that I'm mm-hmm. a little bit iffy about is the whole idea that there's no room for growth.
That's my problem with it.
Yeah. I'm definitely, like, an extremist in terms of, like, well, if it serves the greater good of, like, women having a better, more safer workplace mm-hmm. to
yeah,
work in,
for sure.
then by all means, I am all for it. But I think I'm going to bring up someone, James Gunn. Are you familiar with him?
James Gunn.
He's a director.
Yes. Wait.
He directed Guardians of the Galaxy. He did a few other films.
Yes, he...
Yeah.
And he stepped down.
Yeah, basically yeah. Disney pressured him out of his position. I forget what the tweets were about. They made light of, like, pedophilia, I think it was. Mm. And it was, like, very... It was very problematic and yeah. very, very disgusting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, if you go back to when those tweets were sent out, that was... Which gets back to the whole, like, comedy evolving. That was very much, like, what
yeah.
people were
I'm
making
sure
jokes about
then.
In 2009.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that long ago, but it was just a matter of, like... He came forward and was like, yeah, these were very problematic tweets. Like, I'm not going to defend them, but they were made a long time ago, yeah. and, like, I grew from them. And I think, like, that's something that we do need to sort of, a case-by-case basis, sort of observe, look at the person's growth and sort of see, like, no, like, we're not going to sit here and pretend, like, we as a people, like, everyone who is woke now, and, like, I will include myself in that, like, everyone who, like, thinks they have, like, a good grasp on, like, oh, we shouldn't offend these people, we shouldn't mm-hmm. offend these people. We can't sit here and pretend, like, 10 years ago we weren't probably making the same jokes.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's no room for growth, and I feel like no one's safe.
Right.
Like, any of us at any time could have our past just thrown at us.
Right.
And my thing is, like, if you've apologized for that, should you keep apologizing until the end of time?
Right.
Or should there be a time where you're like, I'm putting my foot down.
Right.
I said, I'm sorry. I really want to help this community,
right.
but, like, I want to move forward from this.
Right.
Because I feel like a lot of times, and again with our generation,
mm-hmm.
even though it has good intentions, we tend to kind of keep the
yeah.
same narrative as if this person isn't growing.
Right.
And Michael Jackson's not alive to be like, I really didn't do it, I swear. Or
yeah.
I did it, and oh my God,
I'm
since
sorry.
Then I've been crying every night
yeah.
going to sleep. Like, we don't have that. So I feel so bad
yeah.
being like, my fuck Michael Jackson. Like, I feel just so...
yeah, the dude's been in the ground for, like, 11 years now. It's like, what are we going to do, guys?
And, I mean, his reputation's been tarnished
yeah,
since I was
sure.
young.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like, this guy already lost everything. Even when he's dead, and I just feel like... I'm not going to say I feel bad for, like, R. Kelly's or Harvey Weinstein's. Let's be
yeah.
on the clear.
Monsters.
yeah. That's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
But for some people where it's alleged, or some people where it's like, oh, I did do that, and I'm so sorry. It's like, okay, like, can we just let them grow? Can we?
Right.
And that's when cancel culture is, like, kind of going to a direction that I don't like. You know what
right.
I mean? I want us to be able to talk. Because where do these people go when
right.
they're canceled?
Right.
You know, they don't die. We're not going to kill them.
Right.
Because that's not right. So,
and,
like,
yeah.
what should we do?
I think that it's sort of cancel culture, like I said, very much behind it.
Yeah.
But I think that the unfortunate, like, negative sort of impact of
yeah.
the whole, like, movement has sort of put its tendrils in, like, other parts
yeah.
of, you know, like, politics, for example. Like, we I don't know, like, if you're on Twitter a ton and you're paying attention to, like, the, you know, like, the Democratic primary, but I feel like at every single turn, one camp is turning to the other camp and trying to find dirt that will completely
yeah.
cancel, you know, like, this candidate or that candidate. And it's kind of like, all right, it's one thing if, like, this person has a really shitty record
mm-hmm.
on a particular sort of, you
mm-hmm.
know, policy and, like,
yeah.
getting them to speak about it. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
being a responsible
mm-hmm.
American citizen and a responsible voter, like, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when it becomes, like, this petty thing between, like, you know, like, an Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, and it's kind of like, guys, at the end of the day, like, they're pretty much behind the same
yeah.
sort of ideals here. Why are we trying to outright, like, ruin this person's career? Like, she's doing
that's
fine
what people
work
do now,
as
yeah.
a senator. Like, just let her live. Or, like, Bernie's... You know, people like Bernie, just let those people live. Like,
yeah.
why do we need to, like, why doesn't it become, like, this toxic sort of environment
yeah.
of, like, no, I need to go out of my way to destroy this figure.
Yeah, that's what it's like, we build people up to break them down.
Right.
And that's what I've seen forever. Like, Britney Spears.
Right.
You know what I mean? When she was having a mental breakdown, the media was so fucking mean to her.
Yes,
like,
they were.
I'm surprised. I mean, it wasn't like she was going to be canceled.
Right.
But it was like, at that point, she was, I'm not going to say she was canceled because she was
yeah.
still making music and doing
for
well.
Sure.
But, like, they just... tarnish, and they just, it's so hard to see, and that's what cancel culture does play. It's all in that, within right. that. So I can't 100% be behind cancel culture because right. of that. And
I can understand that.
You know, and with like Camila Cabello, who, I'm not going to lie, I'd love to see her canceled. I'm not sure. I feel like a hypocrite saying that yeah. because I'm just now telling you that I don't think Michael Jackson should be canceled. You know right. what I mean? So like,
which gets into the whole point of like, sort of, it's very difficult for the black community to sort of like, we're very much picking and deciding. If you're black, we're a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah, and if it has to do with race, then all of a sudden we cancel you.
Right.
But if it has to do with this, it's fine. Like,
right.
you know what I mean? But with Camila Cabello, when you know her tweets came out, her Tumblr, right. you know, she was like, "Oh, that doesn't represent who I used to be," and right. it's like, "Bitch, you wrote that shit like 8,000 times. That doesn't represent who you were." Like, and
right.
her apology was such bullshit to me. And she made it very clear where she stands for the black community. And I feel like us black people, we need to not support her.
Right.
I'm not saying we need to cancel her. We just need not support her.
I think that's where it comes down to. Is like, I think on an individual basis, we just need to sort of make that decision on our own. Like,
yeah.
we can vocalize it. We all have freedom of expression. Yeah. But in terms of like, yeah, like maybe not everyone needs a movement behind them. And like,
yeah.
maybe we don't need to rally like, Twitter
yeah.
behind, like, oh, let's bully this person mm-hmm. to, like, never existing, whether they deserve it or not.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe, like, let's make that statement with our dollars. You
and
know
I'm
what I mean?
Doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, I don't know what black people still support her.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, anyone, any fans of hers listening in, don't go. She, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If she didn't get caught, she wouldn't have said shit. She wouldn't have apologized because she didn't think it was wrong.
Right.
And Normani, beautiful Normani,
mm-hmm.
you know, from Fifth Harmony, was bullied and
right.
just terrorized.
Mm-hmm.
And Camila didn't care. You know what I mean? I think she came out later and said something, you know, but it's like your tweets and your fans obviously are bullying her and being
mm-hmm.
racist toward her. So obviously there's something about you
yeah.
that kind of gravitates these fans toward that. And that's my problem too. And
yeah.
I think about also like Bernie Bros,
mm-hmm.
like Bernie Sanders. I'm not a Bernie supporter myself,
right.
but the fact that you have supporters that are doing these things,
right.
there's maybe something about you that's like, I don't know. It's just like, it's just a bad energy there.
Right.
And I feel like that's something that we need to also look into.
Yeah. I think you touched on something that I sort of wanted to get back on,
mm-hmm.
which was sort of, you can, I guess like case by case basis, like when you're looking at a celebrity
mm-hmm.
who is going through like the cancel
mm-hmm.
sort of routine at
yeah.
this point. I think you can sort of tell on a case-by-case basis, like, who's actually honestly sincere
mm-hmm.
about their apologies and someone who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think going back to Louis C.K., that's the perfect example of someone who initially came out and was like, hey, I apologize for this and that. But then, like, all of his work that has come out since then, he's made light of the situation, which, like, granted, I get you're a comedian. That's, like, technically your job, in quotes.
Yeah.
But I felt there was very little empathy on his part in terms of what he did. It seems very much like, all right, well, like, this audience no longer loves me. They no longer embrace me. Like, I'm very much going to go to
mm-hmm.
this audience that's, like, you know, not about being politically
mm-hmm.
correct. Because, like, if you remembered Louis C.K. before all this happened, like, he was always very outspoken about very particular issues and
mm-hmm.
about certain things that was like, whoa, you're actually pretty progressive. Like, you wouldn't know it from your comedy, but, like, it's good to know. And it seems like he's completely abandoned that the second he realized he can't necessarily monetize
yeah.
that audience anymore. And
yeah.
I feel like that's the perfect example of, like, no. He's not sincere about his apology.
Yeah.
Whereas someone like a James Gunn definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
I believed him. It's
mm-hmm.
like you see it in his work.
Yeah, and I think Kevin Hart, too, was very sincere.
Right.
And was not proud of what he did. And he
right.
seemed like he really, like, he wasn't going to apologize again and again. But he did say, I'm not proud of what I did. And he, during his docuseries,
mm-hmm.
he was sitting in front of his employees.
Right.
And many of them are queer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we stand behind you, but, like, it's really hard to right now
mm-hmm.
because I have people literally in our community being like, what are you doing working for him? And he took responsibility and was like, I understand you.
I'm
and
very
I'm so
glad.
Sorry.
I didn't watch it. I'm very glad that he did that.
Amazing. I like that scene because it was
yeah.
her saying, I stand by you because I know you, but I just want you to know that, like, I'm a lesbian and my friends who are lesbians or my gay friends, they don't understand why you did what you did. And
right.
I just want you to know that, you know, and he was like, wow.
Right.
And he didn't think about that. Like, his behavior from before impacted right now.
Right.
You know, it was a really good docuseries.
Huh.
And he took responsibility for cheating on his wife.
Oh, that's rough. I didn't know all that.
I mean, he took responsibility. Yeah, he cheated on her while she was pregnant.
Oh, yeah, no, I knew that, but I didn't know, like, the docuseries that came out got into all that. That's actually
yeah.
interesting. Huh.
This is a guy, like, how can you cancel him
mm.
when he's growing? Who he was, I don't know when he did those tweets, but...
Mm.
who he was when he made those tweets are completely different than who he is now. Right. Thank God. Right? I hope that we're not who we are at 12 is not who we are at 40. That's sad. I mean, the things that the things I used to hear about Black people, queer people, disgusting things. Yeah. And now people are growing, and it's like, can we let people grow? Can we let people, those who want to grow, those who don't, we're not going to financially help them anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not going to listen to their fucking music. Depends. R. Kelly, bumping and grinding, I want you to know what you're bumping and grinding to.
Yeah.
Thriller, you know, you could play that. Do what you want to do. you see, I feel like me and you are going to be canceled after this whole episode, but it's all right. You know, we'll come back.
It's difficult. It's difficult to sort of like I said before, it's difficult to come to terms. Like, I've tried my best to, as someone who's like very much behind it, and like we do have our riffs, but I do feel like this is representative of like, I'm able to have a conversation with you, even if we have like a difference of opinions.
We do. And by the way, not to cut you off.
No, go on.
But I just realized we literally on the kind of on the opposite sides of this conversation, we're still having a legit amazing conversation.
Right. And I think that's
amazing.
Overall, I think that's sort of representative of, obviously it's a lot easier for us to do because we're not, you know, a millionaire talking to like a regular person, or a regular person talking about a millionaire. Like, we're two regular people
and
talking about it.
And
we're friends. Like, so it's sort of like, it's interesting that we can have this conversation, have this dialogue about this. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely like, speaking for myself, like I haven't listened to Michael in a few. The music comes on the radio. It's like, okay, this is a banger, but I'm going to like to nod my head slightly to myself.
But you can't resist, you know, it's
But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, oh, yeah, no, it's very easy for me to flip that switch overnight and be like, I'm over Michael Jackson.
For sure.
Like, no, it's tough. I miss his music, but he also has a lot of problematic things that he's done. Like, even if he didn't do what he's alleged to have done, he did a lot of shady shit with a lot of, like, just like, I wouldn't do that with a kid I didn't know. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why was this a thing in your house?
Yeah.
But it's all a case-by-case basis, and I think just – us being able to have this conversation is representative of, like, maybe something that we all need to do.
For sure. And to be honest, I typically don't ask my guests, oh, what is your opinion on this before they get on?
Right.
And, like, I had no idea. I thought that, like, you agreed with me or, like, that we were, like, in the same. But then I realized, wait a minute.
I'm definitely behind the cancel culture train. Like, I'm all aboard.
I
feel like the good outweighs the bad.
I kind of got off the train a little bit after a certain time, like after Azizi Ansari, which I wanted to bring up too in this very brief time. Oh, God, I wish it was longer. But, you know, Azizi Ansari, you know, like that situation really bothered me. Like, I was behind the Me Too movement 100%.
Yeah.
And then Azizi Ansari, and I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
I read the piece and it really bugged me. And I was like, if this is what the movement is, it's like, this can't be what the movement is. The movement is better than this. Like, the movement is, like, real, and it's really making a difference. And then this came out, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
And especially with someone like Aziz, are you a Parks and Rec fan?
Never was into it.
Okay.
But I know of him.
So I've been a fan of his for a while. And I remember reading that story at the time and just being sort of, I don't know, as a reporter, I felt very conflicted.
Yeah.
Because I just was like, I want to hear out this victim. Yeah. I want to hear what her experience was. And it sounds like an awful, awful date. Honestly. But I also, it was obviously conflicted with sort of like, I feel the reporting here is a little weak. And I feel like there's some holes here that, like, I do have questions. Not that I'm going to completely throw out your story because of that, but, like, I want to hear more. I want to hear, does this guy have a history of doing this? Was this just a shitty date?
I
want to hear more, and I think that's also just coming from, like, a journalism background of, like, I want to hear some more reporting. What's going on here?
Yeah, it was a really – I thought it was a really shitty piece.
Right.
Complete shit.
Yeah.
And when you're reporting on these kind of things, you have to make sure that you have someone who knows what the fuck they're doing. And
right.
My problem is we have people who, like, just don't – and, you know, I think it was a – wasn't it, like, a personal essay, though?
It was. And so, that's sort of like the one little caveat that I do want to put in there was it was a personal essay and she found a place to publish it. So
free to do that. But, like, then, you know, she showed like the texts and that she texted him.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, you had made me really uncomfortable. And he was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This guy literally sent like a paragraph. You know, obviously he had drunk the night before. Not an excuse. But he was drunk.
Right.
Did some dumb shit, you know. Yeah. I believe that she didn't say no, right? Mm-hmm. Was that the
story? It's been so long, and I don't want to get that wrong, just because it's something so serious. But I do remember, like, she was having, like, you know,
doubts
and here and there. And, like, to me, I feel like it's the responsibility of the man to listen to that and be like, act accordingly, dude. Like, don't force the issue.
For sure. But from what I remember, I don't recall her saying, I said no.
Right.
And so she had said she was uncomfortable and she had left and he paid for her cab. And he didn't hold her hostage. He said, okay, go.
You know,
and apologized.
Did you see his comedy special that he's put out since then that was on Netflix?
No.
I feel definitely watch it because it kind of gets into the whole conversation of like someone who handles it correctly and someone who is very clearly like, you are not apologizing about what you said. And I felt like he took a huge chunk of that comedy special to sort of address that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he did a pretty decent job. Yeah. It doesn't, I don't know if we can quite forgive him for doing that, but we can try to move forward together. And I feel like if he's trying to handle that and trying to appease what he's done and try to rectify that in some way, then hey, he's on the right path at least.
For sure.
That's one less shitty man that's out on the loose. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just feel like when I read, and again, I wasn't, obviously, I'm not her, so I wasn't in the moment, but like when I read certain things about like Harvey and R. Kelly and I read these men that do these things and don't take responsibility.
Right.
And then I read that piece. I felt like different. Mm-hmm. I felt like, you know what I mean? It made me think, you know, instead of just like being like, okay, yeah, he's a horrible fucking shitty person.
Yeah,
I was just like reading it like, wow. like kind of like you said, like, it's just like, I'm not sure.
Right.
Like if, you know, it's just one of those things. And I've been in like a very uncomfortable situation with a guy,
mm-hmm.
like date, you know, thing.
Yeah.
And it is hard. You know, you don't want to say anything because you want to seem cool. You want to seem like you're down.
Right.
But I know that feeling of being really uncomfortable. And so I've been there.
Right.
You know, I've never been in anyone's like house before or anything like that. But it was out in the open and it was just like, what is he doing?
Man,
I don't want that to happen.
We're actually like touching. I don't even know how much time we have left. But like you got into a part of this conversation that I think is really important.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I have the stance that I have is like just as a dude and as someone who, you know, I guess like in recent years, like I am being educated and I'm learning so much about the experience that women have been going through for so long.
Yeah. Most women, it's so sad, but most women have experienced sexual assault.
Right. No, absolutely. Almost every woman in my life has a story.
Yeah, I have
multiple stories.
Yeah, I have two examples of that in my past that I kind of just put in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Which a lot of women do. And it's funny how people will be like, oh, why didn't she say anything?
Yeah.
It's very easy not to. You know how easy it is to like just normalize it? Like, yeah, he touched
me
there.
Absolutely.
And like, I put myself in the situation.
Right.
You know how easy it is to say that? So the Me Too movement, in a way, it's a beautiful thing because it's like people like me who put it in the back of my head can be like, shit, that shouldn't be something on the back of my head. Like, that should be something that's like forefront. Like, we should be talking about this.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that we're having that conversation.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially like my responsibility as a male in this society, like I feel very much like, no, this is where I need to just shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
I need to listen. I need to hear out these experiences and act accordingly and try to get my fellow dudes to, like, get your shit together and stop being a shitty human being the way we have been for the last however many, since the beginning of time. Let's just put it that way. And I think that's why I'm so on board with this, because it's just sort of like, one, this is something, a systemic problem that has existed for so long, and, like, we are finally getting this problem that I did not know existed handled.
Yeah.
And I need to take a back seat and just support women and men, for that matter, that have experienced
this
too.
Yeah, men go through it too.
Yeah, and just make sure that we get some justice where it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know,
there needs to be justice.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're a kid and stuff, things happen. Because I was, the first incident, I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy for it to just, like, roll over you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's insane. It's a scary world out here.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to it because, again, like, I understand those experiences of being sexually assaulted, being harassed in the street, walking down the street, and people making you feel like a piece of meat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I also can understand, like, should everyone be canceled when they've grown? You know, so I'm just in between. It's very hard. But for the most part, obviously, I stand behind women.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I am a woman myself, and, you know. So, yeah, it's really sad.
Right.
But I'm so glad we're talking about this. And even though
absolutely.
We don't agree on everything, we agree about the important things. You know what I mean? We agree that a lot of men need to grow the fuck up.
Absolutely.
And shut up and listen.
Yes.
You know? So that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of men are doing that. And I know a lot of great men in my life. So
I think that's kind of the least we can do is just shut up and just let them speak.
Let's hear them out. This is how I feel also when black people are talking about their problems.
Right.
And then there are white people that are like, all lives matter, or I'm not racist.
That's rough.
You know what I mean? It's like, when it comes to black issues, I can do a whole nother episode on this.
Yeah.
Because I'm very defensive of my community.
Right.
Extremely defensive. And when I hear shit that doesn't sound right, I'll be like, excuse me, you want to say that again? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm very defensive. But for the most part, it's like, I want black people to be able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Black women, oh my God.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Can you imagine being a black woman?
No.
Oh, I am.
Not in a million years.
I am. But like, it's like, listen to us. And with the R. Kelly situation, which I loved about this docuseries, everyone just listened to us and said, this man has been doing this for like 20 years or however long.
Yeah.
Listen to us. No one cared. You know what I mean?
For how long no one cared?
Can you believe it? Living in a world where this man had a cult.
Right.
And was a sex tape and was beating his wife while having a cult.
And I would be remiss to say, like, even though we're having this conversation and there is progress happening on this front, like, we are seeing it happen again. And I don't know where you stand on Drake, but we are literally seeing that with Drake right
now. What's going on with Drake? Oh, God.
I would just say, Google Drake and underage girls.
No,
this is a consistent thing that he is.
Not Drake. No, not
Billie Eilish.
Please, God.
The girl who plays 11 on Stranger Things. Like, celebrity women who are underage have gone on record and be like, yeah, I text Drake all the time. It's no problem. And it's, like, really weird. There are pictures of him at, like, 18th birthday parties. And it's like, well, that implies that you knew her before she turned 18.
Hold up.
Drake, why? And I can't understand why all this information is out there and no one is saying anything about Drake.
You know what? It's always the people who make the best fucking music.
Always.
I'm telling you. I'm struggling now.
Yeah.
I got, how many albums do I have on my phone?
Yeah. I think he's the top artist in the world, regardless of genre.
Fuck.
And it's like, yeah, Drake is very problematic. And
shit, Drake, come on, man. Drake, will you?
Drake is not cool, man. And I don't know. I can't help but see him and just go like, man, I can't believe how popular this artist is.
Shit. Has he? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Just playing the devil's advocate here.
Right.
Let's say he's a brother figure to them. Let's just say devil advocate. Has there been any word? I'm just saying. Someone has to say it. No, really. I think we should have these conversations.
Yeah, of course,
someone,
of course.
Let's say he's a brother figure.
Right. I will follow you to this hypothetical land that I don't think exists.
Thank you.
But yes, go
Thank
on.
Thank you. Thank you for following me there.
Yes.
So let's say he's a brother figure. Has these women said what he's been saying to them? Like, has there been anything coming out that's like he's really kind of saying is inappropriate? Like, I'm just curious.
No, they're all very supportive. But at the same time, I will say like, Drake is the one who is 30-something.
Mm.
He's in a position of power.
He is
the top artist in music today.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And you have these up-and-coming stars who, like, even if they were in that situation, like, they're younger. Like, they're minors. You know what I mean? Like, I'm forgetting her name. Millie Bobby Brown, I think her name is. How old is she? She's probably, like, 15, 16.
She's very young. Yeah.
I'm not necessarily going to put it on her to be responsibly telling us, like, what exactly is happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because to her, like, and I'm not going to speak for her. Like, I'm not going to speak for all women. But, like, she's a child. You know what I mean? Like, we're very quick to sort of, like, brush off a lot of things. We're very quick to sort of, like, put that to the side and not see how inappropriate it is for me to be texting Drake.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, if I was 30-something, I definitely wouldn't be texting kids.
Yeah.
Because it's like, unless they're my own kids.
That's why I put that responsibility fully on Drake's problematic ass.
Yeah, I mean, maybe someone, imagine I can get him on a show. Ooh. Maybe someone should, like, I don't think he does interviews, though, but maybe someone should kind of, like, get him on and, like, bring this up because this is something that you're bringing up. I've heard it from another person that I used to be friends with.
Right.
I've heard these things. So if this is such – if it's really big, we need to kind of maybe sit him down and be like, hey, are a lot of your friends underage? Because, like, you know, with R. Kelly, the girls he's been bringing home are, like, 16, 15.
And I think it's just – I think a lot of people are just turning a blind eye because this information, like I said, it's been out there.
Yeah.
There are Instagram posts, like I said, of him meeting at birthday parties where it's like, she's a little young. That crowd is a little young.
Yeah.
Why are you there, Drake?
I pray to God that he's not dating these women and that he's not having sex with them because then that's – I see a docuseries coming out in the future. You know, and I don't want to see that with him.
And I'll just say, like, historically, men have been very shitty. universally, so I have very little faith that he is not doing something inappropriate. Whatever it might be, whatever form it is, it's just sort of like, on the surface level, this Ori is horrible.
Yeah.
So God knows what's happening behind closed doors. Yeah. I want to believe that he's not doing something just for the sake of, like, the victims, like the theoretical victims. But it's like, we should keep an eye on that boy.
Yeah, but before we cancel him, guys, please, let's just talk to him first. Let's just see if this, please, don't just cancel him yet. Not yet.
You're trying to get another summer in. Dancing to
something. I'm trying to get another views out. You know, just, what? God, why can't the ones with shitty music do? No, I don't want anyone to do it. But like, it's easy. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard when, like, I mean, with R. Kelly, to be honest, I wasn't the biggest R. Kelly fan.
Yeah.
But like, with someone who's like, who's someone that I really love, like Lana Del Rey. Like, I listen to The Neighborhood. You know, The Neighborhood. Like, if someone was to say, "Oh, he did this," it'd be like, I blasted his music while I was in the shower, like every day in high school.
Yeah.
It's really hard. But again, people need to take responsibility.
Yeah.
And hopefully we find a way for cancel culture to kind of find that balance, because I don't see that balance yet. And I want us to do our part, and I, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's tough.
Like, leaving this conversation, I came in with questions, and I leave also with questions, and I'm interested what you guys think.
Absolutely. Chime in.
Yeah. Please chime in. And on that note, thank you for tuning in. And thank you to the incredible Troned Out for coming in and joining this conversation.
My pleasure.
Which is definitely not easy to do. We risk being canceled by just talking about cancel culture. So we might lose our jobs or everything.
I want to keep eating, guys.
Let him eat. He has to pay rent.
This post-grad school life is not easy.
It's not fucking easy. But make sure to subscribe to Saucy But Sweet with Ali McPherson. DM me if you have any thoughts or anything to add about the conversation, any topics you want to hear. Also, Saucy But Sweet podcast apparel is out, so make sure y'all shop that. Yes, merch. Anyway, thank you for tuning in.
All right, thanks. Woo!